Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I'm your host tonight, Dr. Elfrida Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am so excited and delighted that you guys are on the line. I have many of my friends who are on the line. How's everyone doing? And I have many new people on the line as well. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. On tonight, we're going to talk about a phrase. And it's entitled, God Did That, and that comes from Acts 17. And so I want you to get your Bibles ready, and it's going to come from Acts 17, and I want you to really think about what God has done in your life. But God is going to give us a message, and the assignment that God has placed upon me tonight is to read the whole section of Acts 17, and I'm going to give you a teaching or a revelation that the Lord has given unto me. Amen. And so we're going to pray tonight, because at first, amen, the first thing is I was going to summarize it. And as I was in my meditation and my study, the Lord says, no. He says, read it in its entirety. He says, and then through each particular paragraph, he says, explain it to the people. Write the vision, make it plain, because some people, the only time that they're able to understand the word of God is when it is broken down into pieces. And he says, because you are the mouthpiece, and because you are the one who I've called at this particular time, he says, we shall use this time to uplift and encourage the people who are downtrodden, the people who are going through, the people who may not know who God is, or the people who want to know God in a particular way. So I want to thank you all for joining. I want to thank you all for taking out the time to listen to the Love Lift Jesus Ministry. And as I said before, we're going to go ahead and we're going to read. We're going to read a little bit, Psalm 136. Then after we read, of course, we're going to pray. We're going to pray unto God. And then after we pray unto God, we're going to go ahead and turn to Acts 17. Okay? Acts chapter 17. So I want you guys, as I'm on the line, I'm feeling a lot of individuals who are going through a lot of things. And I want you to know that God is near. Put your hand on your chest. Put your hand on your chest. Put your hand on your chest. Amen. We're going to do that tonight. I want you to know that God is with you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is always by your side. God is going to be with you no matter what. God is going to be with you. You have to say that. You have to say it with conviction. You have to say that God is going to be with me no matter what. God is going to be with me no matter what. Because God will never leave you nor forsake you. And God is going to be with you. Amen? God is going to be with you. So there's no need to worry. I want you to, at this particular time, as I'm looking at some songs, I want you to just unload all of your burdens. Forget about what happened last week. Forget about what happened today. And I want you to concentrate on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to forget about that. And I know we have to do it every time that we meet. You're going to hear a little noise because I'm getting the preparing the song. But I want you to really focus on preparing yourself for the coming of the Lord, for the presence of the Lord. And yes, we're going to put our hand on our chest. We're going to put our hand on our chest because I want you to understand how close you are to your destiny. I want you to understand how close you are to God. I want you to understand that God is going to bless you no matter what. God is going to open some doors. He's going to close some doors. You thank God, and you thank him in advance for closing those doors. Amen. It's hard sometimes when you have a desire, and God says, you know, I have something better for you, but you can't see it right now. But God says, begin to thank him and praise him for what happened this week. Begin to thank him, praise him for what's going to happen in the future. He says, praise him in advance. Because you never know when your blessing is right around the corner. Somebody say, my blessing is right around the corner. My blessing is coming. My blessing is coming. Amen. God is close to you. Put your hand on your chest. Put your hand on your chest. God is right there. So there's no need to worry. There's no need to fret because God is right there. Amen. Amen. So once again, I thank God, my family, and my friends for tuning in and joining me. Be sure you get some paper because God is going to. God says he's going to expedite our blessings, amen. He says he's going to expedite the revelation and the anointing upon my mind, amen. So get ready because the word of the Lord is going to spew like fire. And so we must be prepared for the Lord, for what the Lord is going to give unto us. So we're going to start out by reading Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9, and it reads, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. I have read to you Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. We're getting ready to get into the presence of God. God is here. I want you to, this particular time, all of my listeners, I want you to focus, concentrate on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when I say concentrate on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God says he's saying think on the good things, amen, the good things that have happened to you. If you can't think of anything good, God says you're still here. He says he's been calling people home left and right of all ages. He says, but you're still here. Begin to thank God right now. Thank his Spirit. Thank the Holy Spirit. Thank the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. God says begin to thank him at this particular time because the presence of God is here. And so you have to let your requests be made known unto God. And you have to be sincere. You have to forget about everything that has happened. You have to forget about all the trials and tribulations, all the tears that you cried. Amen. You have to be into the presence of God. When you come unto God, God says bring all of the hurts to him. He says bring everything that easily distract you, that easily beset you, that easily hinders you from him. He says bring it to him and place it upon him, and you shall leave a better person. Amen. And so we're into the presence of God. Put your hand on your chest. Put your hand on your chest. God is right there. No matter what you're going through, we're praying for Bobby Christina's family. We're praying for local families here. Amen. We're praying for people in the hospital. We're praying for people who don't know where to go. We're praying for homeless people. We're praying for hard-headed children. We're praying for hard-headed adults. We're praying for schools. We're praying for the leaders. We're praying for churches. Amen. We're praying for people who have destructive hands. We're praying for mental issues. Amen. We're praying for a breakthrough. We're praying for careers. We're thanking God for the open doors. We're thanking him and blessing him for the closed doors. We're thanking him for the valley moments. We're thanking him for the mountain experiences. We're thanking God for the rest he's given us. Amen. We're thanking God for our family and our friends. Amen. We're thanking God for our children and our grandchildren. Amen. We're thanking God in advance. We're thanking God for everything he's done. I want you to put your hand on your chest. Keep your hand on your chest. We are praying unto God. And I'm going to allow the Lord to take over because once the Lord begins to give the words, he will cover everything. Amen. God will cover everything because that's the type of God we serve. Praise God. We thank God for new business opportunities. We thank God for new people. We thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God in the name of Jesus. We thank God in the name of Jesus. New careers. We thank God for new favor, new grace, new mercy. We thank God for closed doors. Amen. We're in the presence of God. I want you to close your eyes and put your hand on your chest. And I want you to think, before we even begin to pray, I want you to think about the goodness of God, what God has brought you to and what he's brought you through. Amen. Think about what God has done for you. Amen. Think about what God has done for you and your family and your friends and your surroundings. Thank God in advance. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God in advance. We're getting ready to pray to God. We're getting ready to pray. Keep your hand on your chest. That's how close you are to your destiny. That's how close you are to God. Put your hand on your chest and thank God. Thank God. Bless God. Bless God. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight with a joyous and happy heart, Lord. We come to you with a regulated mind. We come to you with many things that we just want to get off of our chest, many things that we want to spew in the atmosphere, Lord. And we want to thank you for blessing us to wake up this morning, Lord. And we thank you for giving us a brand new day and helping us to start on this day, Lord. And then you kept us all through the day from morning until now, Lord, and we say thank you. You blessed us as we traveled up the dangerous streets and byways. You blessed us, Lord, as we went in and we came out, Lord, and you helped us to continue to plant seeds in order to grow your kingdom, Lord. And we say thank you, Lord. We thank you for the new people that you have circled around us, Lord, and we thank you for the new ventures, Lord, and we thank you for the new mercies and the new favor and the new businesses and the new doors, Lord. And we thank you for those that you even closed, Lord. We say thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord, and we ask that you bless those who are in the hospital, those who are coming out of the hospitals, and those who are thinking about going in, Lord. We ask a special blessing, Lord, on Miss Bobby Christina, Lord, as she is in the hospital, Lord, and we know that she is in your hands, Lord, and we ask that you continue to care for her and you continue to speak to her and through her, Lord, and whatever your will is, Lord, we ask that we accept the desires of your heart, Lord. Lord God, then we ask that you bless those who are going through hurt and pain, Lord, not only in the heart, Lord, but in the mind and in the body, Lord. We ask that you heal the extremities, Lord, whether it be chest pains, neck pain, back pain, earaches, feet pain, Lord, whatever it is, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you heal it, Lord? And then if there is someone who is missing, someone who is out of the ark of safety, we ask, would you bring them back safely, Lord? We pray for our leaders, Lord. We pray for our churches. We pray for our homes, and we ask that you keep all of those entities safe, Lord. And we ask that you bind the hands of those who seek to go to and fro destroying, because we know that that is of the devil, Lord. And we ask that you bind those hands, Lord, and would you save the house of God. Lord, we understand that the church is in our heart, Lord, and we understand that you are God. And we ask that there, if there be any division among communities or churches, Lord, that you, Lord, fix it. Lord, we don't want to experience your wrath, Lord. We don't want the place of God to be destroyed, Lord, and tables to be turned. So, Lord, we ask right now, would you block or hinder those who seek to destroy your house? Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for everything that you've done, Lord. Keeping our family, Lord. Keeping our children, Lord, and blessing us, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, as this message go forth, that it will be something that is acceptable and pleasing in your sight, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus, will we continue to edify and glorify the kingdom of God, and will we continue to do your holy and righteous will, Lord. Then, Lord, we ask that you bless each person who's on the line, my co-host, my business partner, Lord, and we ask that you just continue to help us, Lord Jesus, to be able to disseminate information to the world so that we can all become better people, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the good news today. We thank you, Lord, for the victory today, Lord. And we thank you for the victories to come. And we ask, would you just continue to help us and keep us, and would you bless this message to be something that you are pleased with, Lord. Would you crown this head from the top to the bottom and allow the words of your revelation to come out of this mouthpiece, Lord. And we say thank you, and we bless your holy name, Lord. We ask that you continue to help us to walk and be a light and shine, Lord, for you. Now, Lord, as we relinquish this prayer, we ask that we'll never relinquish out of your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Hey, amen. Amen. Whew. My heart is beating like I'm getting ready to run a race here. That was A Center of My Joy by Mr. Richard Smallwood. That was actually the instrumental. That was the instrumental track. And so as we prepare, I want you to get out your Bibles, or you can look at it online and turn to Acts 17. We're going to read it in its entirety. I'm going to tell you this is a marathon, but the Lord has given the word of God unto me so that I can explain it to you. And what's going to happen is I'm going to read a paragraph, then after which I'm going to give you what the Lord has given me about that particular paragraph. Then I'm going to move on. Then after which we're going to intertwine everything together, and then God is going to make it real unto us through the revelation of God. Now, I don't know what the Lord is going to give me to give unto you at the end of this particular ministry or teaching, but what I do know is that we serve a true and living God, and whatever God says, that settles it. Amen? And so I want to take you to Acts 17, and we're in Thessalonica. Somebody say Thessalonica. And we have Paul here. And Paul is going to preach the word of God, and we're going to experience the reactions of the different people in different cities. And I want you to know that if God has placed you on an assignment, you're going to have opposition, and then you're going to have people who are on track with you. But God says, keep going. So we're in Thessalonica, and we find a man by the name of Paul, and we're going to read Acts 17. And I have the NIV version. And it says, when Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah. He said, we're talking about Paul. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. So we have Paul, who travels to Thessalonica. So I want you to write that down. It's very important that you know that Paul was in Thessalonica, and it's very important, God says, that you know that he went to a synagogue, and that was a custom. This wasn't just something that he would go to when he would visit this particular city. God calls this a custom, meaning that he was used to doing this. God says that we should dwell in the house of the Lord. Put dwell. We should dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. And when we talk about, I want to stick a pin here as the Lord is showing me, when we talk about the house of the Lord, God says dwell with the dealings with inside of your heart. If you have hate, God says that you must deal with that hate within your heart before you can love someone. So God is saying Paul went to the synagogue, the physical synagogue, and it was a custom for him. It's customary for him to go into the synagogue. Now, when we talk about, as God just showed, when we talk about the custom of your heart, which is your synagogue first, God says that there must be things that are dwelt with. God says that, I want you to put, things need to be addressed in the synagogue. Things need to be addressed in the synagogue. And you're going to understand it. The Lord has given me this very quick, but you're going to understand this. So we have Paul, who's traveling to Thessalonica, okay? His custom was to go to the synagogue, which he did, all right? And in this particular synagogue, he's telling the people that the Messiah, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, had to suffer and rise from the dead, okay? So he's preaching about Jesus. Some were persuaded, and they listened, while others went astray. And there were a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women who really believed in Paul. That's what you need to know. So we're in Thessalonica with Paul. He saw a synagogue, right? A Jewish synagogue. He went into that synagogue, right? And that was a custom of his. And he went in there explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. And, of course, some, not all, of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. Okay, so picture that. So Paul has won over a couple of people, in this Jewish synagogue. But there is a conjunction. Listen closely, because there is a turn. But other Jews were jealous. So they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decree, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. So we have Paul here, for those of you who are just joining, who was in Thessalonica. And, of course, Paul went to a church. Amen. And within this church, he began to preach about God, the Messiah, and how he died for us and how he suffered. But he rose the third day. And, of course, some of the people were with Paul and Silas. That means that they believed in his ministry. But then there were others who were jealous, right? Other Jews who were jealous. So they got a group together. They got a posse together, and they formed a mob, and they began to start a riot in the city. And a riot, ladies and gentlemen, is nothing new to us, because we see riots all the time now. They're very prominent, especially when people are killed in the streets, or if something happens, such as that church shooting, then there are riots, and the cities begin to be destroyed, right? So this person, this man named Jason, had invited or had welcomed Paul and Silas. So these people, the enemies, those who did not believe in what these two were preaching, they wanted to find Paul and Silas. And you know that they wanted to find them to do them some harm. But how many of you know that Jesus can be a fist all around us? So they looked for Paul and Silas at Jason's house, but they couldn't find them. So they got the next best thing, which was Jason, and brought he and some other men in front of a whole group of people. Right? And basically said they were defying Caesar's decree because they served idol gods. And they were upset because Paul and Silas was preaching about another king who they called Jesus. And basically, when the city officials heard about this, when they heard from these bad individuals who were saying that these men were just causing trouble in the city, then it caused the city to become in turmoil, and people were against other people. But Jason and the others were able to escape or be dismissed from jail. All right? I want you to stay with me. So far in Thessalonica, what happened was Paul and Silas traveled to Thessalonica. Went to a synagogue, right? And he dwelled there. And this was a custom of Paul, to visit synagogues. And he began to preach about the Messiah. And he began to preach about the suffering of Jesus Christ. And some of those people believed in what Paul and Silas was preaching about. Then you had some other Jews who did not believe and who were jealous. And so they went to find Paul and Silas because they were going against the decree, because some of them were serving idol gods and they didn't want to hear about a new king by the name of Jesus. And so instead, since they couldn't find Paul and Silas, they took the next best thing, which was Jason, who welcomed them into this particular town. But eventually they had to let Jason and those other men go. Okay? Now, that was in Thessalonica. We're in another city. Let's see what happens to Paul and Silas. They were in Berea. Okay? As soon as it was night, notice that, as soon as it was night, because they knew that some people were after Paul and Silas, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue once again. Why? Because we just said it was a custom, right? Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So now we're in another city. We're in Berea. I believe that's how you pronounce it, but you get the message. And as soon as it was night, Paul and Silas went to this particular town. And, of course, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were more cordial, and they listened to Paul. They had a better character. Their character was at ease, and they were very eager to hear what Paul had to say. But they checked the scripture about what Paul was saying to make sure it was true. God says, study to show thyself approval, a workman that needed not be ashamed, but rightfully divided in the truth. So they studied everything that Paul said. These people studied, okay? So Paul and Silas had a better disposition in this particular town, okay? But when the Jews in Thessalonica, which was the city that they just left, the city that Paul and Silas just left, learned that Paul was teaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too. What does the devil do? He go to and fro seeking whom he can divide, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. Those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. So what we have here is that in Berea, Paul was well accepted, right? And many of these Berean Jews believed in what Paul was saying, and a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. But the word got out to the Jews in Thessalonica that Paul was preaching in this particular city, Berea. And some of them went there, and they began to stir trouble in that particular city, right? So the believers, those who believed, they sent Paul to the coast. They sent him away, but Silas and Timothy remained there, but then they finally joined him as well, okay? So we have one situation in which Paul, in Thessalonica, Paul faced some opposition, right? Then he went to Berea, and everyone loved Paul, and they loved his message, and they were studying, and they were reading their Bibles. But from the past, from his past, and God is making a connection here, from his past city that he left, the Jews in Thessalonica came over to this city, and they began to stir up the crowd. And once again, Paul was sent away. All right? He was sent away for his protection. So now we find Paul in Athens. So Paul has been to Thessalonica, Berea, and now he's in Athens. So let's see what happens. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, we're talking about Silas and Timothy, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Somebody say full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, what is the babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Amen? So Paul went to Athens, and he went into the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks and in the marketplaces. And people began to question Paul, and they were asking, what are you saying? What is this new ideology? What is this new philosophy? How many of you know that whenever things begin to change, people have a lot of questions? And so they began to question Paul because they didn't know anything about what Paul was teaching. They didn't even know Jesus Christ because they were too busy serving other idol gods. They had made things their idol, and Paul was talking about a human being, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, being a king, but these people were serving idol gods, okay? Let's see what happens next. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus, and y'all know that pagans are people who do not believe really in God, and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, an unknown to an unknown God. So So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. So Paul stood up in the meeting. Paul was in a meeting. They called a meeting because they had a lot of questions for Paul, because Paul was teaching something that they wasn't used to, okay? And Paul said, you know, I'm looking around here, and I see that you guys are very religious. He's being sarcastic. And he says, you know, on your altar you have this inscription that says to an unknown God. And how many of you know when you go into churches, there is a passage that says this doing in remembrance of me, speaking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But their inscription on the altar didn't say that. It says to an unknown God. So who are you serving? If you don't have a relationship or know God, who are you serving? You're serving things. So you're ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. So Paul is saying you don't even know who you worship. You're saying that you worship an unknown God. You're worshiping things. You're worshiping idols. You don't know about this Jesus Christ that I'm talking to, the Jesus Christ who can heal, the Jesus Christ who can set you free, the Jesus Christ who can deliver you. Okay? So let's read on. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times and histories and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us, for in him we live and move and we have our being. And some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So Paul is standing up in this meeting, and he says, you know what? You guys don't even know the God that you serve. So since you don't know, I'm going to enlighten you. And he begins to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he created every person. He created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who is able to allow us to move and have our being. He is the one that is able to help us, and he wants us to reach out to him so that he can reach back, and he wants us to seek him so that we can find him. And God says that we are his offsprings. We belong to God, and he begins to tell the people who God is. Let's read on. Therefore, since we are God's offsprings, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he would judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Therefore, we are offsprings of God, Paul says. And he says we should not think, right, that this divine being that he's talking about is silver, gold, or stone. He says there is nothing on earth made by man, nothing on earth that's made by man should be reverenced as much as we reverence God. It should not be worshipped, you know. And he says in the past, which means that when we were younger and when we didn't know, God overlooked all of these things, but now it's time to repent because God is coming back to judge the world. And so, therefore, Paul is saying, stop serving these idol gods and begin to serve the God who is able to heal and set you free. Begin to serve the God who is able to heal and set you free. So when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on the subject. At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and also a woman named Demarius, and a number of others. So when these individuals heard how about the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus rose again, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear more about this subject. So some was interested and some was disinterested. At this particular point, Paul says he's not going to entertain what was going on, and he left. And he did increase his following. And the whole point of this particular passage, God says, is that we must work while it's day, because when night comes, no one is able to work. Ladies and gentlemen, as God has given it to me now, I want you to number your paper, 1 through 10. And I want you to put to God at the top, opening up to God, our Father. Okay? I want you to put number one, and I want you to put study the Word of God. Paul studied the Word of God. How do we know? Because when he was preaching the Word of God. He didn't preach on his feelings. He didn't preach on his emotions. He didn't preach on what was going on in the world. He was preaching on the Word of God. Number two. Determination. Determination. Paul could have easily given up in Thessalonica, right? When there was a mob of people who started to riot that city. He could have easily given up, right? But he didn't. God says that not only was Paul determined to get the message out, but Paul was able to refuge from God. God was with Paul during this time because God covered Paul and he sent him to a place where he would not be overtaken by the enemy. And what God is saying to us today, just as he said to Paul, is that God will always be our refuge. He says, but you have to be determined and you have to continue on the assignment. Whatever assignment the Lord has given you, you have to have the determination and get the assignment out. And God says then afterwards he will be a refuge. So he says that all the critics and the naysayers will have to be silent because you cannot hear them because you're in a place of refuge. You're with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? Opening up to God. All right? Number three, honor. When you open up to God, our Father, you're honoring him. And God says when you honor him, he says you respect everyone. And what God means by this when he talks about opening up to God, our Father, and honoring God, our Father. He says you respect everyone. Paul faced some opposition, but you never saw in the Bible where Paul deviated too much from the Word of God. He used the word ignorance, and he used the words that he saw on the altar, an unknown God. So he honored God by continuously saying who God was, continuously telling the people what God could do. So he honored God. Number four, when you open up to God, you remain grounded. You remain grounded. As I said before, determination and grounded sound very familiar or alike, but when you are grounded, you remain on your mission. You remain on your mission. You remain on your mission. Okay? Grounded. So, opening up to God, Paul studied the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. He was determined. But he also had a place of refuge, a hiding place. God was able to protect him from his enemies. Then honor. No matter where Paul went, he was going to church. No matter where he went, you know, he was going to find a church. He was going to go into that church, and he was going to preach the Word of God. And he was grounded. He remained on his mission. In each town that he visited, he was able to go into the synagogue, and he was able to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right? Number five. Stand. When Paul was in that meeting, he stood up. He stood up and began to speak about the idol gods and to speak about the altar which had an inscription of "To an unknown God." And he began to stand not only on his belief, but on the word of God. And he was the only one. And God says sometimes when you stand up for righteousness, you're going to be the only one. But Paul stood. Paul stood. And he gave his insight on the expectations of God. He gave who God was. He gave it to the people, and he won some people over. Okay? Number six. Teach. When you open up to God, you teach others how to come to God. As you know, in each place that he visited, he was able to win some souls over. And so if you have an anointing, as God is showing, if you have an anointing on your life as a minister or as a teacher, God says no matter where you go, somehow, some way, teach people about God, whether it's through your actions or how you love, whether it's through the word of God, whether it's what you do. God says always allow your actions to reflect love or to reflect how Jesus expects us to act. So when we teach, we not only teach with verbal teaching, but we teach with unspoken teaching as well, our actions, okay? Some people say actions speak louder than words. So when we open up to God, we are also teaching people and we're winning souls, okay? So you have to study the word of God. Paul did that. Determination to those cities. And then Jesus hid him. He didn't allow harm to come near him. Then honor. He respected the people who was for him and who was against him. But he honored God. Then grounded. He remained on his mission. And everywhere he went, he didn't shy away from the synagogues. He actually went to the synagogues. He stood on the word of God. And you saw him teaching the people informally and formally, visual and through his actions. Okay? Number seven. Remain focused. When we open up to God, we remain focused. Paul knew that he was to go to these synagogues and he was to preach about God. He could have easily went to these synagogues and began to speak about the people that he just left and speak about what God does to people who defy him and how God becomes angry when we don't do what the Lord has asked us to do. But instead, he remained focusing on his mission, and he promoted God. God says, remain focused. That's how you open up to God, our Father. You must remain focused. Number eight, appreciate. Appreciate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you look at this particular section on Acts 17, you'll find many hints of appreciation. And we show our appreciation by dwelling in the synagogue. Okay? We show our appreciation by remembering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wherever we go. Okay? We show our appreciation by loving thy neighbor. And we show our appreciation by standing on the word of God. Appreciate. Number nine. Unity or unify. Everywhere Paul went, he was trying to unify the people. He was trying to connect the people to God. He was not trying to disconnect the people like some of the Jews were. He was trying to connect people to God. And God said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there shall also be." You notice that it was three people with Paul, but sometimes Paul was alone. And then his other two friends came later. And Jesus was dealing with Paul. And God says that he is with you always. He is with you always, even unto death. So Paul, he was unifying the people. But Paul was disattached. He was unattached to Silas and Timothy for a period of time, but he was still with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God says that he is one with you. Unity. He is one with you. You are never alone. When God sends you on assignment, right, when you're anointed by God and he sends you on assignment, he says, you are united. You are one. And then finally, opening up to God means your heart. God says whenever you go to a place, doesn't matter where you go, he says you always find the good in people and you always let the people know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that sounds redundant, right? Because God says that you honor him everywhere you go, but he says also to keep him in your heart so that you may not fall into the snares of what the world throws at you. He says always put on the full armor of God and protect your heart, because your heart is the church, and that's where God dwells. And whatever is in your heart, God knows what is in your heart. You must open up to him all the hatred, all the things that you have in your heart. You must open up to God our Father. And when you open up to God our Father, God is able to come in and he's able to clean our hearts. Okay? So the 10 concepts that I want you to get out of Acts 17, when we open up to God, God says study the word of God on a daily basis. Don't just wait till the storms come. Don't just wait till the tempests begin to rage. Don't just wait until things begin to fall apart. God says study the word of God on a daily basis. Amen. Number two, determination. Paul was determined. Every city that Paul went to, he preached the word of God. Even when his enemies were trying to find him, he was in a place of refuge. Why? Because God had sent him on that assignment, and God was with him. Honor. Respecting everyone. When we honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we honor his children as well, right? Paul respected everyone. He respected those who wanted to follow him and those who did not want to follow him. He respected them. So honor God. Grounded. Remain on your mission. In Thessalonica, when that riot started, Paul could have said, forget this. I'm not going to be in the middle of anything. But instead, Paul went on, right? He continued to journey, and he continued to journey until he finished his mission. So he remained on the mission. Don't give up. Then stand, right? In that meeting that Paul had, he stood up on the word of God. And he says, you know, some of you are very religious. He's being sarcastic. He says, you don't even know who you serve. And he began to talk about the God that he serves. He begins to talk about the God that we serve. Then it says teach. We not only teach through lecture, and we not only teach, you know, through kinesthetic and tactile, but we teach through our actions. Actions speak louder than words. And so what did Paul do? Paul continued on his mission. Paul went into the synagogues, and what? Paul preached the word of God. All right? So teach. Remain focused. Paul remained focused. Although there was opposition and a lot of questions, especially when Paul went to Athens, Paul remained on his mission, and he talked about worshiping, and he talked about God. He remained on his mission. Appreciate, right? He dwelt in the temple. He found the synagogue. And, you know, we remember that verse, love thy neighbor as thyself. And as I said before, Paul respected and honored each person. Then unity, right? Unity. Paul, in each synagogue that he went to, he tried to connect people to God. And he was successful in doing that to some people, and some people still went astray, right? But he didn't tarry too long in the cities. He received some followers, and he kept going. So unity. And even when Paul was by himself, God was with him. Amen? Then the heart. God says, keep him very close to your heart. God, put your hand on your chest. God is that close to you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because God loves us. He is our Father. God will never leave nor forsake you. We have to keep God close to our hearts. We must keep God close to our hearts. And those are the 10 principles of opening up to God our Father according to Acts 17. Study, determination, honor, be grounded, stand on the word of God, teach the word of God, remain focused, appreciate God, unify the people and connect them to God, and keep God in our hearts. Amen? So I know that you was able to get something out of that lesson. And I know that we serve a true and living God. I know that we serve a good God. I know that we serve a God who never fails. I know that the God that we serve is omnipotent. I know that he's kind. And so, therefore, as you take charge in opening up to God our Father, I want you to remember that God is always, put your hand on your chest, that God is always with us, no matter what. God is always, always, always with us. He will never leave us, nor will he. Acts 17. That was a very interesting chapter, and we learned that Paul was very faithful unto God. And remember, this is the same Paul who was at first named who? Saul, right? And he used to persecute the church, but now he's preaching the good news about the church. See how God can change things and turn things around for us, amen? So I want to really appreciate each and every one of you for listening on tonight. We have some announcements to make. And what I want you to do is I want you to, first of all, go to AfridaLoveShow.com. AfridaLoveShow.com. Okay? I want you to visit this website. There are some great things, and I'm going to add more things to this particular website. If you look, you'll see different titles. And I want you to click on all of them and look at them. I'm going to add some more. I'm going to add another person on. I want you to look at upcoming events. Of course, check out the radio station that you're on right now. And, of course, check out the Spiritual Guide to Go. All right? In addition to that, so that's www.AlfredaLoveShow.com. Please be sure to check that website out. Then I want you to look at AlfredaHubPages.com, AlfredaHubPages.com, okay? And within this, you will see workshop information. You'll see health information, politics, gospel. You'll see the radio program. You'll see politicians. You'll see family things. You'll see political aspects. Just please, please, please check this particular website out. And it's entitled Alfreda, A-L-F-R-E-D-A, dot hub pages. That's H-U-B-P-A-G-E-S, dot com. I would love, love, love to see you on that particular page. Now then, okay. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Gospel artists, artists, writers, promoters, actors, actress, please, 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 journalists, please, 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 Facebook AlfredaLove at AlfredaLove or FREDALOVE, or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the Love Live Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. In addition to that, as I said before, make sure that you continue to pray for all of your family members. If you have to put them all in one line, pray for them one by one. And do not forget to pray for yourself. Amen. Pray for yourself and pray for those you know and those you do not know. Be sure, be sure, be sure to pray for each and every person. Okay? In addition to that, just make sure that you continue to just love yourself and love God and continue to just pray unto God. There are a lot of things happening in the world, so be sure to pray unto God and be sure to keep God near and dear to your heart, which he is, and just be sure to know that God will always, always, always be by your side. He will never leave you. Put your hand on your chest. Put your hand on your chest. God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Amen. I am so excited and delighted. I am going to add my new host on pretty soon. My new host is just shadowing and listening. I want to thank each and every one of you and bless you all for tuning in to the Love Live Jesus Ministry on tonight. I really appreciate that. That means a lot to me. And anytime that you are on the Love Live Jesus Ministry, feel free to chime in. Feel free to share. with others because people like to know a little bit about other people, and they want to know about God. They want to know about this God that we serve. And so I want you to be sure to come back each and every day. On next week, we're going to have someone from Ghana who is going to come and give us some information about a book. And so I will have more information with that. You know, on tomorrow is Praying with Love, and then we will have our top 15 Billboard countdown. So we're back in stride again. And so tomorrow is Praying with Love, and then we will have our top 15 Billboard gospel artists the next day. So be sure to come back. I thank each and every one of you for tuning in to the Love Live Jesus Ministry. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. And until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Elfrida Love. Reminding you to be diligent in your prayer as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah.